Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. As we continue our studies from Galatians on the exclusiveness of the gospel of the grace of Christ, we turn to the doctrinal arguments of Paul against those who would add circumcision and Jewish law to the gospel of grace. In chapter 1, Paul reviewed his own conversion to Christ from Judaism and his own call to apostleship of Christ. Then in chapter 2, he reviewed the historic Jerusalem Council, where he prosecuted and won the case against the legalistic Judaizers, and Peter's notorious visit to Antioch, where Paul challenged him for his hypocritical behavior among the Gentile brethren. He closed chapter 2 by laying the doctrinal foundation that, quote, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. At the close of last week's message, I pointed out two powerful points that Paul made at the end of chapter 2. First of all, he said in verse 19, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." That is, according to Moses' law, a man is freed from the law when he dies. He followed that thought with verse 20, which said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." His point was that in Christ, he was crucified with Christ by faith, that is, in the mind of God. Therefore, by faith, he was dead in the mind of God. And if dead in God's mind, then he was dead to Moses' law. And if he was dead to Moses' law, then he was free to live unto God in Christ. The second powerful point was in verse 21. He said, and I quote, "Do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." He meant that he would not allow the grace of God to be nullified by works. His logic, if a man could be saved or justified or made righteous by the law or any other way for that matter, then Jesus had died an awful death on the cross for nothing. That, he said, would make void the grace of God, which was seen by the work of Christ on the cross, and he was determined not to let that happen. Beginning the doctrinal section in chapter 3, Paul asks a question and then does kind of a legal cross-examination. His question was, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" The word foolish here is a Greek word that means not to exercise the mind or to neglect the powers of observation. He was accusing them of not thinking. They were not paying attention. When they listened to the arguments of the Judaizers, they weren't employing the power of reason, and as a result, they were bewitched. The word means they were fascinated with the misrepresentation. It was almost as though they were under a spell. You know what? I've seen that in my days. I've seen folks that were under the influence of false doctrine, and you can show them scripture after scripture after scripture to no avail because they've been enamored with, bewitched by, false doctrine. By the way, a lot of false doctrine has an element of truth in it. That's why it's so hard to combat. The Judaizers had an element of truth in their teaching. They quoted Old Testament scriptures. They looked and acted very religious. There was very much about them that was commendable in both their lives and their views, except they made void the grace of God and the cross of Christ. And anybody who makes void the grace of God, anybody who nullifies the work of the cross, is a false teacher and deserves to be condemned by God, just as Paul said in chapter 1. Paul went on to point out that the person and work of Christ had been set forth with solid evidence before their very eyes. Yet now, under the influence of false teachers, they had ceased to obey the truth. That is, they had ceased to believe in Christ and his finished work alone they were adding works to grace, which is no gospel at all. Now he began the cross-examination. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Let me give you a little paraphrase there. Paul said, hey, when you received the Spirit, when you got saved, when you got born again, when the Holy Spirit came into your hearts to live, was that by the works of the law or by faith? Which was it? And they would answer, well, of course, it was by faith. Okay, you sure? Yeah, it was by faith. Okay, it was by faith. Then salvation is by faith and faith alone. Next question. If salvation was by the power of the Spirit, do you really think sanctification will come in the energy of the flesh? You got saved by the work of the Spirit. Do you really think you'll be matured by the power of the flesh? Now, it's a rhetorical question. I don't think Paul intended an answer. He's just giving them something to think about. Well, you should think about it too. Hundreds of folks get saved by faith and then try to grow in Christ by the energy of the flesh. And they're the most frustrated, defeated people in the world. Let me shout it from the rooftops. Sanctification is as much a work of the Spirit as salvation. Next question. You all suffered much persecution and much trouble for the cause of Christ. Did you do all that suffering for nothing? If the work of Christ is not enough to save you, if you have to add something else like circumcision in order to be saved, then you suffered for nothing. So let me ask you again, did you suffer for nothing? Next question, still a paraphrase. When Barnabas and I were among you, and God worked mighty signs and wonders through us, was that by the works of the law, or was it by faith? Hey, come to think of it, have you ever seen one of these legalists, one of these Judaizers, one of these purveyors of Moses' law, one of these false teachers? Have you ever seen one of them do a miracle? Have you? Think about it. Paul was making the point that his preaching was accompanied by miracles. The Judaizers were powerless. Thus far, Paul has made some powerful points. First, a man who has received Christ is crucified with Christ in the mind of God. He is therefore dead in the mind of God. He is therefore freed from Moses' law in the mind of God and freed to live unto God in Christ in the mind of God. Then he made the point that if a man could be justified by the law, or any other way for that matter, then Jesus died for nothing on the cross. What was the point of such an awful crucifixion if it was not the only way to be saved? Then, by way of cross-examination, he made the points that a man is saved by faith, so he must most certainly be sanctified by faith, or perfected by faith, that they had suffered satanic persecution for faith in Christ, not for the works of the law, and that none of the legalists had ever credentialized his teaching with powerful miracles. But the preaching of Paul and Barnabas had most certainly been certified by supernatural miracles evidencing the power of God. Now in verses 6 through 9, Paul advances his arguments even farther. He said, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now the false teachers had said, God called Abraham out from among the Gentiles and gave him the covenant of circumcision. Therefore these Gentiles must be circumcised like Abraham if they want to go to heaven. Now, in response, Paul quoted an Old Testament scripture, which the false teachers had grievously neglected. His quote is Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The Judaizers had preached chapter 17 abundantly, but they had neglected chapter 15 altogether. They had failed to tell the Galatians that Abraham was justified or counted righteous in chapter 15, but that he wasn't circumcised until chapter 17, at least 2 years later. In other words, Paul made the point that Abraham, the hero of the false teachers, was justified by faith, not by circumcision. In case you have any doubts, you should know that James, the protege of the false teachers, verified the same thing. Listen to James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There it is. No mention of circumcision, but faith alone. And that is by the testimony of James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church. Paul went on and taught in verse 7 that the true children of Abraham are children by faith. Listen to his words. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now the Israelites all took pride in being the children of Abraham by birth and by blood. They threw that in Jesus' face during his earthly ministry. They said, Abraham is our father. Jesus answered back, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. This did not Abraham. He went on to say, ye are of your father the devil. This teaching of Paul's is consistent throughout all his writings. Later in this same chapter, listen to verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen to Romans 9, verses 6 through 8. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Paul's consistent teaching is that those who believe in Christ are the children of Abraham, those who don't, aren't. A good Jew could trace his ancestry all the way back to Abraham, but if he didn't have faith in his heart in Jesus Christ and his finished work, he was only a physical descendant. He was neither a child of Abraham nor a child of God. It's sad but true. Some of my listeners today are tracing their ancestry back through church membership rolls, just like the Jews traced themselves to Abraham. Some of you are trusting in religious works that you've added to the finished work of Christ. You've made the cross of Christ of none effect. You've nullified it. You've voided it. Could I urge you in these final moments, turn to Christ and Him alone today. Forget your religion. Forget your good works. Forget your ancestry. Christ and Christ alone can save you. Well, next week we'll look at the gospel that Abraham believed. Until then, God bless you and have a good week.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Dietrich from First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri. Friend, this broadcast is a ministry of our church, and we're trying to discern God's direction for the next year in our ministry, and that includes the question of whether we're being good stewards of time spent in preparation, preaching, and production. But in radio ministry, the only way we can gauge the value of this broadcast is if you respond. So if you've been listening and you've been helped by something you've heard, would you drop us a quick note? You can reach us one of three different ways. You can email us at info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note through snail mail to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. Let me repeat that one more time for you. You can email to info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. And let me remind you that it's not quite 9 o'clock and you still have time to get ready and get to church this morning. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to visit us this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website at www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.